This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Acuron Corn Herbicide from Syngenta, which delivers 5 to 15 more bushels an acre than with any other herbicide. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide. Acuron Yield Advantage range is based on 2016 Syngenta and University trials. It's October 3. Most of the corn and soybean crops are still in the field, and it's tempting to be more concerned about putting a crop in the bin rather than managing the risk on those bushels. Well, that's okay, but it might be smarter to think risk management even before you back the auger up to the bin.
Live from the studios of Farm Journal Broadcast, this is AgriTalk. Today, it's a farmer's perspective on marketing and handling the business side of the operation with Chris Barron of AgView Solutions. Me, I'm your handsome new... Wait a minute, I guess I can't say that. I'm your prompt newsman, John Harris. Yeah. And now here's your host, every bit as handsome as me, Chip Flory.
That's pretty generous. Oh, thank you and welcome. Welcome to AgriTalk. You know what the handsome newsman would say about that drummer start there?
He'd say fire the band.
Well, he'd say fire the band. He'd say the drummer is drunk. Fire the band. Oh, my goodness. Davis, by the way, hopefully, as we understand, will be back with us next week.
Not till then.
Not till then. Yeah, well,
you can't come back soon enough, Davis. We miss you.
You do know that it is Thursday, right? You've almost made it through this week of having to put up with me.
Almost, yeah.
Almost, yeah. So now, and we'll let Davis share with you what is going on if he so chooses. Shall we put it that way?
There you go.
All right.
But we heard from Davis. Everything's going well. So
yeah, we look forward to him coming back. Going well. Yeah. He's on his way back. He is making his way back, which we cannot wait for him to return.
Some of us more than others.
That's right. No, you know, we all want him back the same.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to be talking with Chris Barron today, AgView Solutions. I'm looking forward to the conversation with Chris because he does want to talk about not taking your eye off the risk management ball when you're sitting in the combine, when you're driving grain cart, when you're running the grain dryer. You've always got to be thinking about what makes the most sense when you get the pencil out and start penciling in your costs against what you can expect for revenue. And Chris is always really good about doing this, and it's a great reminder this time of the year to continue to focus on returns.
Yeah, and he's one of the masters at finding money in the operation.
There you go.
On both the sales side and the input side.
Yes, very good. Very well put. Very well put. Corn was slightly higher today, and soybeans were slightly lower. That was a bit disappointing to me. The beans couldn't perform better than what they did. They felt like they had a weight on their shoulders all day. The soybean market did. Around midday, it was performing fairly well. By the time we got to the close, slightly lower. A little bit of pressure on soybean meal. Bean oil just took off to the upside today. Wheat, I'll just call it mixed. Live cattle were mostly higher. Feeder cattle higher and lean hogs mixed. Had a little bit of strength in the nearby contract, but some pressure in the winter month contracts there today. All right, buddy, let's get to it. What was moving the markets?
Well, let's start off with wheat. Wheat export sales in the week ending September 26 totaled more than 328,000 metric tons. That was in line with trade expectations, but failed to provide much price support. USDA this morning also reported that China purchased 130,000 metric tons of U.S. white wheat for delivery in the current marketing year, and even that wasn't enough to encourage futures to hold on to early gains into the close. Yeah. December hard red futures were steady at 405 3/4. December soft red futures slipped a quarter of a penny to 488 3/4. December spring wheat, 0.75 cents lower at 528 3/4.
Dude, China came in for some wheat.
Yeah.
Bought 130,000 metric tons of it, of white wheat. Now,
And yet
we could not get this market moving to the upside. Now, was the strength that we saw in the market you know, geez, I can't just say recently. You got to go back about a week. Was that strength tied to this? I don't know, because it seems like everybody I've talked to is surprised by this wheat sale to China. So, boy, the guys in the PNW have got to be really, really happy with what took place there, because that's where a lot of that white wheat is growing. My no relation Bill Flory, who I rely on for a lot of information out of the PNW on the wheat market, I'm sure is very happy with that sale.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah.
Turning to corn, corn export sales on the week ending September 26th of just over 565,000 metric tons were also in line with trade expectations. Mexico was the lead buyer, with Japan also high on that list of U.S. corn buyers. Strength in soybean futures early in the session helped corn prices push to the upside, but the December contract continues to run into increased selling on moves above 390. That made it tough for the corn market to hold on to even slight gains today. Yeah. Soggy conditions, a slow start to harvest, and the risk of the end of the growing season in the upper Midwest also working together to limit selling interest in corn futures. December corn futures were a penny higher at 388 and three quarters. March corn up a penny at $4 and three quarters of a penny. And May corn closed at 406 even, up 1¼ cents on the day.
You know what's funny is the corn market, the way that it was trading early today, and the reason that I'm getting into so much detail on this is because Oliver can't be with us today, just so everybody knows. But the corn market, the way that it was trading early in the session, acted like it wanted to set back again today. And then beans came in, traded to the upside, and kind of gave the corn market the confidence to go ahead and push to the upside. Push the D's contract through that resistance at 390 again. But once that selling came back in, it was, yeah, the selling was there, but it was muted pressure. It's like the only reason that they were selling in corn is because beans were hesitant to go to the upside. It makes me feel like we may be into some positioning for the crop production report that's coming next week, but it seems a little early for that too.
Yeah, it is a little early.
Yeah.
And good thing we don't have a football game pick to get done today, since Oliver's not here.
Oh, he already did.
Oh, he did. Okay. Yeah, wait to hear that.
He picked Iowa by a million because he isn't real happy with his new best friend, Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Back to the markets. Soybean export sales in the week ending September 26th totaled nearly 2.08 million metric tons. That easily topped trade expectations. China was the buyer of nearly 1.56 million tons, which means sales to China alone topped the highest pre-report trade guess for bean export sales. USDA this morning also reported the sale of 252,000 metric tons of U.S. beans for delivery to China in the 2019 to 2020 marketing year. Traders agree these goodwill purchases are turning into some real sales ahead of next week's round of trade talks between the U.S. and China. November bean futures were 2 cents lower at 9.11 and three quarters. January beans slipped to 1¾ cents to close at 9.26. March beans closed 9.36 and a half, down 2 cents on the day. More down prices on good news.
On good news, exactly. That's one of the reasons today's price action was so disappointing. Yes.
All right, well, beef export sales of 12,600 metric tons were disappointing to the cattle market, but prices did manage to close higher on support from chart-based buying. October cattle were 75 cents higher at 106.80. December cattle futures firmed 20 cents to close at 110.82 and a half. October feeders were 27.5 cents higher at 142.35. And pork export sales of 34,500 metric tons were down slightly from last week, but still represented solid global pork demand. October hogs were 22.5 cents higher at 62.42 and a half, and December hogs fell a buck to 68.10.
Yeah, in those pork sales, 34,500 metric tons, none of that was to China for delivery in 2019. But like 3,400 tons of that were for delivery to China in 2020. So no current year sales, but next year sales of pork to China. I think the market was a little disappointed that we didn't have more of China. We got to have some pork now. Okay. All right. We got Chris Barron, AgView Solutions, up next. I'm joined by Mike Leach, Agronomy Service Manager for Syngenta. Mike, what should growers keep in mind as they make their weed management plan for 2020?
There's several principles that we need to consider. Number one, diversity. Utilize cover crops. Maybe it's inter-row cultivation. Obviously, crop rotation is a good diversification tool. Think about narrow rows. Think about higher plant populations that will outcompete weeds. Always, always, always start clean. Don't let the weeds get ahead of you. Always use a two-pass approach. Our data would show there's always more yield in a two-pass approach. And use herbicides that have multiple effective modes or mechanisms of activity or sites of action within the product. The whole idea is to keep weeds from going to seed and feeding the seed bank.
And, Mike, when you make that two-pass approach, use the full label rates, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Cutting labels is like cutting the nose off to spite your face. It makes absolutely no sense.
Exactly. Okay, so tell me more about which herbicide programs you'd recommend.
With Syngenta and our corn portfolio, it would be a product like Acuron, Acuron Flexi, Lumax EZ, Lexar EZ. We've got a large portfolio that we can put together, a very flexible and affordable weed management program. In soybeans, it's much the same. We have Broadex XC, Boundary 6.5 EC, as well as Prefix. All of those are good, effective products that contain good, effective sites of action for soybeans. And then combine that with our new product, Tavium, plus Vapor Grip technology, or utilize the FlexStar GT. We've got great choices.
And when you apply the right product, apply it right, correctly. Don't make the mistake of some wrong applications.
Chip, I can't emphasize that enough. What has traditionally happened is we're trying to keep things simple on the sprayer. And for example, if a grower applies Tavium plus Vapor Grip and then switches to FlexStar GT, for example, in another field, you have to change the technique, the volume, the pressure, the nozzle type, all of those things so that we get the best deposition for the herbicide that's in the tank.
That was Mike Leach with Syngenta sharing recommendations on how to take back control of your weeds next season. Always read and follow label instructions. Acuron, Lexar EZ, Lumax EZ, and Tavium Plus Vapor Grip technology are restricted use pesticides. Vapor Grip is used under license from Monsanto Technology, LLC.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
A lot of things made what you're hearing possible. Glacial movements millions of years ago, annual snowmelt from the mountains, and, believe it or not, crop nutrition. Smart crop nutrition, to be exact. For the person standing on this shore right now, that's what made it possible to be here and to lose himself in the serenity of it all. It came with a phosphate fertilizer called Micro Essentials from the Mosaic Company. It uses fusion technology to make a perfectly balanced granule that delivers season-long sulfur availability and uniform nutrient distribution. Every single plant in your field gets the ideal nourishment all season long. That means a healthier crop and higher yields. And it means a sense of security and that things are going okay. When you have that, you can have little moments like this, too. Experience your own with Micro Essentials. Visit your retailer or microessentials.com to learn more.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket you spot. Miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards.
She took down a photograph. All right, welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. Hey, guys, we had a couple of really, really good conversations this morning in the first hour of AgriTalk. If you didn't get a chance, go back and listen to them. The first was with John Newton. He is the chief economist for the American Farm Bureau Federation. And we talked about the AFBF's new, adjustments to the federal milk marketing order. So good conversation with John there, and we talked about some other things. And then in the second half of the show, we talked with NCBA CEO Colin Woodall, and a really good conversation with Colin. We covered a lot of ground, a lot of the controversies that are taking place in the cattle slash beef industry right now that I hope everybody takes time to listen to. All right, give us a call today. We are talking harvest season risk management. So give us a call. It's 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us. And when you do, make sure that you include hashtag AgriTalk in the message. That way I'll be sure to hear it. And don't be afraid to call. I'm talking with Chris Barron. We've known each other for, 10 years, something like that. Maybe longer. Probably, hell, it's longer than that. And when we get to talking, it's just a couple of guys sitting around and talking. So if you want to jump in here, please do. 855-482-5524. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great. I think it's about 20 years, Chip.
Is it?
And you're having fun.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Everything okay over there?
It's a little wet. You know, yeah. I didn't dump the rain gauge for the last couple of days because I was afraid to look at it. And last night I finally walked over there and it had 5 inches in it. I dumped that out because it was full.
Dude.
But other than that, you know, it's pretty good. We were able to get out in our own family operation to get out and get a few beans out a little bit last week. And we went out Monday night and got about 125 acres out that night as well. They were a little on the wet side there, but, you know, we're pleasantly surprised with the yields. Not doing too bad.
I keep hearing it again this year, and I haven't talked about it a lot on the air, but when the beans get ready to go, they are ready to go. Even with the overcast, it feels like they're going from 14% to 10% in no time at all.
Yeah,
are you hearing that?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we saw that even Monday night. You know, the humidity was really high, but, you know, we went out and tested them about 3 in the afternoon. They were about 17, and by, you know, 6 o'clock that night, you know, they were 15, so they dropped a couple of points pretty fast, and so we went after them. The problem is with this wet weather is reminiscent of last year. You know, we saw a lot of beans get lost out in the field.
Yep.
Last year, with the ebb and flow of dry to wet, those pods get tired of that, and eventually they start dropping some beans.
Yeah. I'll bet those stems are making the combine bark, too, aren't they?
Yeah, a little bit, but not too bad. I mean, I think a lot of these beans now, with all this weather and time that's passed now, I think harvest is going to go pretty smooth. Okay. And we've been getting some feedback from a lot of our clients. You know, we've had, pretty large number of guys just texting us, telling us kind of what they're seeing when they're first getting out there in the beans. And, mm-hmm. you know, the common theme we've been hearing is, you know, they're 5 to 7 or 8 bushel, maybe less than last year, but, you know, they're maybe 5 to 7, 8 bushel better than average. So, you know, it's a good story from that perspective, but it's definitely off of last year by a long way.
Yeah. Yeah, that goes hand in hand with what I'm hearing from a lot of the guys that I've talked to as well, Chris. Okay.
Yeah, that's the early beans. But
Right. Good point. Chris, before we go any further, it's been a while since I've had you do this, And I think it so that people understand where this conversation is coming from, explain what AgView Solutions is.
Okay, we're a business that for the last 24 years now have worked with growers to help dial in to the penny, once especially you know what your exact yields are, what your cost of production is actually at, including all family living costs, all the expenses. So when we work with growers, we look at the financials, we bring in their cash flow and their balance sheets, and we help them dial that cost of production in to a per penny basis on the crops that they grow. And from there, then we can start to make better marketing decisions. But, you know, so often we hear people say, we need to know your cost of production. Well, a lot of times, unfortunately, I think the cost of production is sort of like shooting from the hip. You have a pretty good idea what you spend on a lot of variable costs, but do you really sit down and enter this information mm-hmm. into some sort of a program to really dial those numbers in? And so that's one of the primary things that we do on the business side of things.
Yeah. Yeah, Chris, on that cost of production, there's a lot of that's going to get close. And then as soon as you hear a number from somebody else, you think, yeah, you know what? That's close enough to what I was thinking. So, yeah, my cost of production is $4 on corn and $10 on beans.
Exactly. And machinery and equipment, too, is one of the biggest ones that people are the most confused with. And that's probably the area where we can help people the most is dialing that equipment down to a cost per bushel. Most people know what they're writing checks out for, but do they know what their cost per bushel is on machinery? Because that's how we market our grain, so we need to know our expenses in that form.
Right. Okay. So let's get started on this. I want to talk about some harvest season risk management strategies. And when you think about whether or not you're going to be making some sales or not, Chris, what kind of run through the checklist. What do you start with?
Well, we always start with cash flow, and that's really the key thing. And actually, we have 10 elements, and I think I sent you the 10. And I do want to say, you know, we probably won't have time in this conversation to get through all 10 of them. And so I'd like to just run through them real quick and kind of spout off the 10, and then we'll start with the most important ones, get through what we can. But
excellent, you know, excellent plan.
Right. And so the first one is cash flow, knowing what those needs are. The second one is storage. It's having a plan now and understanding, you know, if you've got overrun or if you've got excess, what's the situation there? How are you going to manage carry and all that? The third one is margin objective. And what I mean by margin objective, it's just like we were just talking about a couple minutes ago. It's knowing that cost of production on, you know, truly dialing that in. And then having a margin objective or a profit objective. I want to make 25 cents a bushel on corn, for example. Okay, if your cost of production's $3.75, when you get $4, are you making sales or are you not? And if you don't have that objective out there, you can't be disciplined to make those decisions. And so that's number three. Number four is basis opportunity, and that's a huge one this year because basis is very, you know, not too many miles away, and as you get east, it really improves. And so that's another one. The fifth one is MFP, market facilitation program. That's a critical one. I want to spend a little time on that one, so I won't dig into that one yet. Okay. Number six is insurance. Number seven are yields, and we can dig into that one. We've already talked a little bit about yields, but that obviously that's the biggest, probably one of the biggest things in the equation. Grain quality is going to be a huge issue this year, I think, with wet corn, in particular on the corn side. And just being able to manage the quality of that and the high moisture and molds and all kinds of other fun stuff that's coming our way. And then logistics is number nine. It's figuring out, you know, where are you storing, how are you storing, is it at the elevator, is it on-site, you know, storage, or does it make sense to be moving that stuff because basis is good? And then you look at re-ownership opportunities with your broker and that kind of thing. And then number 10 is just elevator or processor locations. There's a lot of different opportunities out there right now, and I caution people on third party risk too with deferred pay. There's just, you know, the economy is not great in ag, and it's not great in all the industry side of things either. And so if you've got money laying places going into the end of this year, make sure that they're financially sound. And so those are kind of the things, and we can roll right back up to the cash flow now, and you can ask any questions there.
We've only got about a minute in this segment here before we need to take a break, Chris. But I was going to go to what I thought was maybe the most important thing, and that being the margin objective. But I do want to go all the way back to the first thing that you mentioned, cash flow. I mean, if you're marketing based on your cash flow needs, isn't that selling grain when you have to, not when you should?
Well, you need to know well in advance of when that revenue has to come in, and then that gives you that element of time to get at least a floor locked in, and then you can open the top side up. So, for example, if you need a couple hundred thousand, say you need $250,000 for cash flow, and you've got, you know, 25,000 bushels sold, that's $95,000. If you know you're going to need another $155,000 by the end of the year, you know, at 380 corn, that's 40,000 bushels. So you do the planning now, so it's not a reactive decision. It's a disciplined decision that's going to bring that revenue in. And you can always open the top side up, but we need to be getting some floors in here.
So you're talking about manage your cash flow needs. Don't let your cash flow needs manage you. That's what it comes down to.
Exactly.
Yep.
That's a great way to put it.
Exactly. All right. We are talking with Chris Barron. You can use that, by the way, if you want to, Chris.
Thank you. I'm going to use that. That's a good one.
More with Chris in a moment.
Attention, oxygen users. Are you on oxygen therapy and still using tanks? Life is hard enough struggling to breathe. Don't waste your breath on dealing with bulky, dangerous tanks.
Call 800-513-4698 now.
And try the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator risk-free for 30 days. Tanks are a hassle. They hamper mobility and are difficult to transport, not to mention risky. The Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator is compact and makes its own oxygen, making your life easier. If you call right now, we'll send you a free information kit that outlines all the benefits. Plus, you can get a 30-day risk-free trial to see for yourself. But don't wait. This exclusive radio offer won't last. Call for your free information kit on the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator. Ditch the hassles of tanks and experience the freedom of living a mobile life again.
Call 800-513-4698. That's 800-513-4698. 800-513-4698.
It's time for AgriTalk's Tech Talk. Pro Farmer Senior Market Analyst Jeff Wilson joins us now. Jeff, what's the market move that matters the most today?
Hi, Chip. Crude oil prices are down about $3 from the levels they were trading ahead of the drone missile strike that took out roughly half of Saudi Arabia's oil production last month. Prices touched $50.99 today. That's just above the $50.52 low set on August 7th. While prices have erased more than a dollar from earlier lows today, internal momentum is down. This week's drop is a sign that traders have lost confidence in demand as global growth is slowing amid rising trade tensions. A break below 50-50 could rush the December lows at $42.36.
All right, Jeff. Good stuff, man. Thank you. That is Pro Farmer Senior Market Analyst Jeff Wilson. Pro Farmer members, go to profarmer.com.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019, in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. We're talking with Chris Barron today. And we are talking about harvest season risk management. So give us a call. It's 855-482-5524. That's the best way to get into us today. I'm going to recap how the markets closed here real quick for us. December hard red winter wheat futures steady at 405 and three quarters. SRW wheat slipped a penny, slipped a quarter of a penny to 488 and three quarters. December corn futures were a penny higher at 388 and three quarters. March corn up a penny at $4 and three quarters of a cent. November bean futures were 2 cents lower at 9.11 and three quarters. January beans slipped 1 3/4 to close at 9.26. October cattle 75 cents higher at 106.80. October feeders 27.5 cents higher at 142.35. And October hogs were 22.5 cents higher at 62.42.5. Okay, let's get back to Chris. Chris, at the end of the last segment, we were talking about, obviously, the harvest season risk management, looking at your cash flow needs, and then number two on your list was storage. But I'm assuming that you're talking about, when you're evaluating your storage, I assume you're talking about more than just, do I have enough room to store what I expect to harvest?
Right. You know, how are you using that storage? Are you going to actually capture the carry, or are you just going to sit on it and stay open-ended on the risk? And so there's a lot more to think about in storage there than just putting it in the bin. And so that's really the elements that we talk about with storage.
Right, right. Okay, now on to the one that I picked as you were going through. This is the one that I think is not managed as aggressively as it should be in farming right now, and that is managing that margin objective. Talk about that.
Well, in every other industry, when a business buys inputs and plans to turn around and either manufacture something, build something, or resell it, they know what they spent to the penny on that input.
Right.
So that when they sell on the other side, they manage that margin. Now, that's easier said than done, because occasionally, you know, I'm reminded by people that, you know, well, there wasn't even a chance for a margin this year. So what do I do? You know, well, you got to identify what that opportunity is and where you start making sales. But, you know, in the last couple of years, about 97% of our clients that we work with have opportunities a couple of times throughout the year to capture a margin objective. In other words, if, like I said, if their cost of production, let's say on corn, for example, is 375 and their margin objective is 25 cents, it's a $4 thing. It's not that you just don't make sales there. It's that you lock in that floor there, and you can still leave the top side open. You know, and you can segue into that too. You don't have to sell it all at once, but you know, it's having a margin objective, but really it's the discipline that it helps you with, because if you actually write that down, you actually have it, you know, it's one thing to know your cost of production. It's another thing to have it documented and to live by it. And so often we know it, or we think we know it, and then we don't document it like we should. And then we don't act on it then like we should.
Okay, so if your margin objective on corn is 25 cents a bushel, and this spring the market is shooting to the upside, you get to that 25 cent objective and they pull back and don't make the sale. Because why? Because they think it's going to be 30.
Because I don't know what it's going to yield.
Yeah,
I don't,
because
you know,
I don't.
The typical answers, I don't know what's going to yield. Well, you know, you're not going to sell all of it, number one. Number two, you know, you have to go off of your five-year proven yield, not your APH, but what you produce over a five-year average, and go with, right, with that math, and then decide, okay, what percent at what time of year ahead of time do I need to be sold, again, for cash flow reasons. You know, so you're not reacting to cash flow. You're planning on cash flow,
right,
and you manage that. You know, both on the physical side of things when there's opportunities with basis, and then probably on the board side of things, you know, when basis isn't so good. You know, so those are all tools, and I mean, and that's what you guys talk about every week.
Yep.
I listen to you all the time, and you got some of the best brokers and analysts and information people out there that can help us as growers. And so we really don't have an excuse to not use those tools.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, I think
it's my soapbox, but
that's good. I'm going to kick you off it and step up there for a second, because I think if more people would put the work in on the margin objectives here, you can never completely remove emotion from marketing. I get that. But boy, you can really squash a lot of it down if you said, listen, my objective is 25 cents a bushel. We're there. I got to make some sales. It's
well,
predetermined.
The biggest reason that those objectives aren't gone after from a discipline standpoint typically is fear. I mean, I talk to growers,
yep,
all the time, and I do the same thing myself. I'm marketing myself too. I'm not just doing this stuff. And so I have the same emotions. But it's amazing how you can manage emotions if you document a plan and you use, you know, strategic objectives and utilize a strategic plan. I mean, I've got four sons in the military and a police officer, and every time they get into, you know, into battle type situations, they go off of their plan, and they don't have all the information. A lot of times you have 30% of the information, but if you don't have a plan and you don't execute it, then it's just an emotional thing. It's a guess. And, you know, and even if you have a plan, you're going to make some mistakes once in a while, but you're going to be on the odds, you're going to be more right more often than you're going to be wrong by
right.
following that plan.
Right. There. That is so important to realize. More, if you've got a plan and you execute that plan, more you're going to be right more often than you're going to be wrong. Good stuff. Before we get too short on time, you said that you wanted to make some comments on the market facilitation payment program.
Absolutely, I do.
What's going on?
Okay, so in that element, you know, one thing I think as producers we all have to remember is that payment isn't just a per acre by county payment, right? And it is. We all got a check, or most people have gotten their first compensation or first payment on that. But, you know, the reality of that is what does that mean to your bottom line in terms of per bushel? And so the key thing that I'm trying to help people understand is that you got to take, so I'll just use my county as an example. Buchanan okay. County, Iowa is $52 an acre. Okay, well, if I grow 60 bushel soybeans, that means I'm going to have 87 cents per bushel on soybeans in this county. If I have corn that yields 200 bushel, that's 26 cents. When you're doing your margin objective, those pennies need to be added to, or those cents need to be added to that price to tell you, here's where I'm at on my marketing. That is a market facilitation program defined to help us with our marketing. That's why the definition of it and why the word is in there, facilitation. It's helping you to facilitate your marketing. And so that number has to be added to our sales price. So if we sell soybeans at $8 in Buchanan County, I'm actually, you know, minus basis, I'm selling beans at $8.87, you know, for my bottom line and for my P&L to understand where I'm at, rather than dumping that into the accounting and not understanding where that came from. It's not just money that came out of the blue sky. It's right. dollars and cents that needs to be, and it needs to be allocated appropriately that way between one crop to the next. So when next year you're looking at what do we do next year, corn versus soybeans and that kind of thing, we aren't overstating the value of one crop over another. And that was the whole idea of the county payment rather than, you know, right. just soybeans.
Well, yeah. Yeah. You can't let the MFP payment be just gravy. It's got to be part of the meat. And it right. This makes a whole lot of sense here that you need to break it down. How did you break it down to that $52 an acre? Explain that again just real quick so guys know how to do it.
Well, $52 is the county payment. So like yep. Benton County, a neighboring county, $72 or something like that. It's just yep. basically take the dollars per county and divide it by the bushels of each crop so that you know what the income is on a per bushel basis. No different than, like I said, on the cost production side. You should know your machinery and equipment costs on a per bushel basis. You should know every in and out within your business. You should know on a dollars and cents, you know, on a per bushel basis,
yep.
because I mean, last time I checked, that's how we sell our grain is on a per bushel basis. And so we want to make sure we're always thinking in terms of per bushel on both the income and expense side of the ledger.
Right. Okay. We've only got about a minute left. I'm going to let you pick. What's the last thing that you want to talk about here real quick, Chris?
Yeah, I don't know. They're all important. I mean, I think one of the big challenges this year is going to be, you know, grain quality and how that ties into basis and some of the decisions we might want to be making from a physical perspective. And so I'm going to touch on both of them just real briefly here. But, you know, if you look at basis right now, for example, they're paying us to bring the corn to them sooner rather than later. And yep. so I think that's telling us that if we've got some questionable quality issues and some things like that, I think we need to be rewarding, you know, the processors that they're going to pay us more right now, yeah. Listen to what the market's saying and do what the market says. And when the processor wants it, give it to them.
Yep.
You can re-own it on paper or you can buy options or whatever. But, you know, that sets the floor and it locks you in a good basis and you can still open the top side.
Gotcha. AgViewSolutions.com, right?
Yep, that's right. Check us out. We also have a podcast called The Ag View Pitch. You can check that out, too.
The Ag View Pitch. All right. Thanks so much, Chris. We'll talk with you again soon, bud.
All right. Thanks, Chip. It was fun talking to you.
Yep. Chris Barron with Ag View Solutions. When we come back, John Harith and I will put a wrap on today's 2 hours of AgriTalk.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have our county right now or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
I'm Zach Johnson, a row crop farmer in Minnesota.
And I'm Mitchell Hora, a farmer in Iowa.
Agriculture has to feed a growing population, and many people want us to pull that off without messing up the environment. So how do we do that?
We're trying to figure that out on our podcast, Fieldwork. Check us out on the AgriTalk app and learn more at fieldworktalk.org.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarmer.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019, in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-806-9013.
That's right, annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and annuity rate report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-806-9013. That's 800-806-9013.
Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our DC Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the DC politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the DC Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know what you're thinking. So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
Wow. Welcome back to AgriTalk. John Harith.
Yes.
Farm Journal News Director joins me right now. You know, at the end of the last segment, John, I said that I was going to put a, or that you and I were going to put a wrap on today's 2 hours. Instead, why don't we look forward?
All right, I can do that.
Let's look ahead. Tomorrow morning, it's Friday. That means we've got the Friday free-for-all. Have we got the whole team back together?
Yeah, all the regulars are back tomorrow.
Nice. So that means Pro Farmer Policy Analyst Jim Wiesmeyer, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio, Sean Haney, and Iowa Farmer, past president of NCGA, Pam Johnson. So looking forward to that. But if everything goes according to plan, which I would assume that it would, if everything goes according to plan, they're going to have to wait before we get started tomorrow morning because we're also going to have a conversation with USDA Secretary Sonny Perdue that we will have available for you tomorrow morning, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Again,
yeah.
If all goes according to plan.
If all goes according to plan. Now,
Andy's going to have a kind of big announcement.
Yes. Yeah, this is the announcement that we've been talking about and waiting for. This is the big biofuel package from the White House is what we should be talking about. And even if the White House doesn't release the details of the big biofuel package, hopefully we can still have a conversation with Secretary Perdue because there are a lot of things that we need to discuss with him, including what has been characterized. Some of his comments, his recent comments at the World Dairy Expo in Madison this week, that have been characterized as a get big or get out comment, right?
Right.
I don't know, dude. I heard him for the thank you, Brian Winnikins, WRDN, up in Durand, Wisconsin, for sending this to us. But it's a minute and a half. It's a conversation, just a general press access.
Gaggle, yeah.
Yeah, access to Secretary Perdue. But listen closely for the what has been characterized as the very simple get big or get out comments.
We've seen the loss of a lot of small dairy farms in recent years. Do you think that that continued loss of small farms is inevitable, or is there something that can stem the flow of that?
No, I think so. I think the 2018 Farm Bill will stem the flow of that. Now, what we see, obviously, is economy of scale having happened in America. Big get bigger and small go out, and that's kind of what we've seen here. It's very difficult on an economy of scale with the capital needs and all the environmental regulations and everything else today to survive milking 40, 50, 60, or even 100 cows, and that's what we've seen. What we've seen is the number of dairy farmers go out, but the dairy cows haven't reduced that much. Those cows have not gone to slaughter. They've gone to someone else's herd for the most part in that way, and that just increases the supply of milk, which makes the supply-demand balance even exacerbated in that way. So I think, but again, I think more dairy farmers will be able to survive with this 2018 Farm Bill and its risk mitigation measures.
But are they going to survive as they have in the past as small operations, or are they going to have to get bigger and get out?
That remains to be seen. Everyone will have to make their own decisions economically whether they can survive. I don't think in America for any small business, we have a guaranteed income or guaranteed profitability of survival. That depends on each and every farmer and dairy farmer. Farmers are pretty good at managing through tough times. I think those that have survived through the 14 Farm Bill should do well in the 18 Farm Bill.
That wasn't nearly as abrasive as I was led to believe, John.
No, it wasn't. And I'd heard similar things from our dairy editor, Annalisa Laca, who was there, also said that what she heard was not what was reported in the Associated Press. And quite frankly, what I heard there was that USDA and Congress have done what they can in the 2018 Farm Bill, but at some point, market forces decide.
Market forces are market forces.
And they're the final arbiter in what happens here.
Right. Right. Interesting. Well, Hopefully, we're going to take up a lot of time tomorrow in the conversation with Secretary Perdue talking about the details of the big biofuel package from the White House.
I'm going to have to get some reverb in the studio here. So when you say big biofuel package. Yeah.
But hopefully, I am going to throw it out to him. And because a lot of people, what they feel like they heard, and maybe what was reported by the non-ag media coming out of Madison in particular, maybe that media did lean a little on the look what Secretary Perdue said, get big or get out. But that get big or get out is what people heard him say in some cases. I just didn't hear it.
I mean, something close to those words were said, but certainly that doesn't capture the context of what was around those words.
The reporter, whoever it was asking the question, said, asked him very much point blank, does that mean you got to get big or get out?
Yeah.
And his reply, his immediate reply to that was, that remains to be seen.
Right.
In other words, market forces will be market forces. You know, he went on to explain that.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to defend him. I want to give him an opportunity to defend himself on this, because you guys know that there have been some times where I've said, you know what, Sonny kind of dropped the ball on this. But on this one, I feel like he may have gotten a bum rap.
In listening to the whole thing, I would say the same.
Very good. Should be fun tomorrow. You're going to play along with us and have the conversation with Sonny and jump in on the free-for-all?
Yeah, I'll stick around tomorrow if you'll have me.
It'll be fun. Oh, are you kidding? Of course we'll have you. Wow. Hey, real quick. This is from @JacksonLee_96. He says, if cool isn't important, why is it required on orange juice? And it's directed to @AgriTalk. I've never said that the country of origin labeling isn't important. All I've done is looked at what the WTO has ruled, and it creates some real problems for mandatory. Cool.
Colin, as Colin said, it's not a food safety thing. It's a marketing thing.
Right. And Colin Woodall this morning even said that, hey, they support voluntary cool, but it's the WTO's rulings on the mandatory cool that prevent them from supporting it. Wow. Great day today. Thanks to Chris Barron for joining us this afternoon. We got Purdue and the free-for-all tomorrow morning.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019, in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. Private healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910.
Thanks to Acuron Corn Herbicide for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer about how you can get 5 to 15 more bushels with Acuron. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide. Acuron Yield Advantage range is based on 2016 Syngenta and University trials.